this week's episode of The Thick Ass. This is episode number 187. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Dr. Jonathan Fass, all the way from Bora Bora, I think.
Bora Bora. French Polynesia.
So where is that geographically for us that are potentially...
Don't even know the 50 states.
Hey, you know what? I still pass the test.
It's basically south of Hawaii, more or less. It's kind of in, well, I don't know. It's almost kind of like in between Hawaii and Australia.
So you're globe charting.
Yep. But it's basically, it's the South Pacific.
Very cool.
It's it's right over the equator. And I actually, I'm not really sure if this is, I think this is probably the first time I've ever been south of the equator.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
And I was going to ask you, did you end up getting a new camera? Like to take
I did.
A, are you using like a piece of crap?
No, I mean I got a I got this before I left from my my job, but it's a what do you call it? Panasonic Lumix. The you know, I can throw it on the ground and submerge it in water kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't break. It's not supposed to.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yep.
So that's good. I asked you how your trip's going so you can stop being a bitch every week you come on the show.
Thanks. But you're assuming that I prefer not to be a bitch.
And yeah.
That assumption may not be correct.
What's up? All right. Thank you.
Wow. That's got to be edited out.
Does it?
Well, I guess it's an insight to Kevin Larrabee's life.
My brother was dropping off Star Trek 4.
The Voyage Home?
On Blu-ray. Yeah, he borrowed it from me.
Sweet.
All right, so we got some great stuff coming up for you today. First, we're going to be, obviously you already heard it already, but we're going to be trying out some pieces of music that have been submitted, as I asked last week, to see if we could get some new theme music for the show. So we're going to be playing those throughout the podcast, and basically the way it's going to be set up is you're going to write in and say which one you liked. The first piece of music is just going to be number one, and the second piece of music is just going to be number two, and then we'll probably play a third one for the outro, for the end of the show, going into the off-topic. So we're going to be trying out some musical pieces. I sent John one of them, and he didn't tell me if he liked it or not.
No, I don't think I had time to listen to it, actually.
Of course. So that's awesome. And we also have that TRX gift certificate contest for that $175 TRX gift certificate. It's going to be going for one more week. So again, you can get in on the contest in a couple different ways. And you guys have been doing great so far. So we got Twitter, Facebook. You can post on Twitter and Facebook about the FitCast. Make sure you're following myself on both of those services, and you can also follow John if you can find him, just so we can pick out people and make sure we are keeping track of everyone that's posting stuff. Also, you can submit a review on iTunes or on the Zune Marketplace. All those places. Great, great things to do. And I haven't even checked on iTunes, but I'm pretty sure that the people have been posting newer reviews lately. I don't know if you've checked that out at all, John, but it's been incredibly exciting.
Cool. Nope, I haven't, but now I'm incredibly excited to.
Incredibly excited.
Yes.
Awesome. So, yeah, it looks like people are doing that. That's good stuff.
Cool.
And this is going to be the last week of the FitCast Insider discount. Again, there's a great deal going on at thefitcast.com. If you always love the interviews that we do and you want some stuff that's more in-depth, it's exclusive to the FitCast Insider. It's stuff that these guys haven't talked about elsewhere unless it was at a seminar that people obviously had to pay, you know, a couple $100 to go to. You can check those out at thefitcastinsider.com. Some great content there, especially if you're just starting to get into the fitness and nutrition world, or if you just want to get more in-depth. Like, there's some really great discussions. Like I said last week, John Berardi on G-Flux, Mike Boyle talking about CNS intensive training and kind of where he's at with that. I mean, that's something that we'd definitely like to talk to him about more down the road. Mike Robertson talking about joint by joint where we go basically from the bottom of the body up to the top of the body, talking about, you know, ankle mobility to knee stability to hip mobility to lumbar stability and so on and so forth. Really great stuff. And for listener feedback for next week, the question is, why do you train? Could be a very simple answer. Could be a very complicated answer. I want to know, why do you train? That will be this week's listener feedback. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to be right back with a mailbag. We got tons of great questions this week, and then we're going to wrap it up with listener feedback. So stick around. All right, we're in the mailbag for this week. I'm praying that John has the outline open, so I'm going to just grab the first email from Anna Marie. It says, hi, guys. I was listening to the FitCast episode 177, and you had a message from John, the cameraman in South Wales, who had problems with tendonitis in his elbow. I am a sports therapist in South Wales who has done a lot of work with chronic elbow pain, both sports and non-sports people. I think I may be able to help him. So is there any way that you can pass my details on to him in case he would like to contact me? So, John, here's the opportunity. Not you, John.
Right.
This is from John, who asked a question, John with an H. And looks like Anne-Marie might be able to help. So, John, if you're still listening, send me an email and I will forward her information on to you. That's some good stuff, the FitCast crowd helping each other out. Cool stuff. So next one from Jason. Hi, Kevin. What up? My best friend's band, Miss TK and The Revenge, have a song called Future Power that I think you will enjoy. The lyrics are Back to the Future influence with mentions of gigawatts and DeLoreans. Check it out on iTunes or send me your email and I will email you the MP3. Thanks for doing a great podcast, Jason. I will have to check that out, Jason. I haven't checked that out yet. But you can see we have a very cool themed album art and picture on the website this week. And last piece of quick feedback. This is from Mark, who had some words. Kevin, I just listened to this podcast, and this is, I'm guessing he was talking about the one where we had the discussion about Mike Boyle and his kind of the thing that's going on between him and the NSCA. He says, Kevin, I just listened to the podcast, and I think you got the whole CEU thing wrong when it comes to Boyle. NSCA isn't giving CEUs for his part of the seminars, but they're not canceling all of the CEUs. For example, Mike Robinson is only getting 0.5 CEUs instead of 0.6. He applied for because Mike Boyle is one of the speakers at his upcoming conference. I think you should mention this the next time you do a podcast, because I'm sure a lot of people are confused, Mark. And Mark, that's a great point. I was mistaken on that. So clearing it up right now. So right there. All right, so we have another piece of kind of feedback, but a kind of a big question from Anya from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Mm.
Basically the middle of nowhere. Hey, guys, I'll make this
show. Wow, you just totally dissed her.
Nothing against her.
But maybe she likes.
It's against North Dakota.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
You city slicker in your big city of Boston. Can't respect other areas.
Hey, guys, I'll make this short. I'm a personal trainer in North Dakota. I'm an avid reader and learner, and I've really been thinking about making the trip to Long Beach for the Perform Better Summit in August. Is this something that a first-year trainer should do, or is it for more seasoned trainers? I would love to go and experience it, but I am having trouble finding people to join me as well. Most of the people I train with or am friends with don't read and learn as much as I do, so I'm not sure they see the benefit of making the trip to California. Would it make sense for me to just make the trip alone? I'm thinking of talking to my fitness director to see if she would be interested in joining me, but I'm guessing it would be a no. Basically, can you tell me what kind of demographic attends the summit? What should a person like me, who is an unknown fitness professional, expect from attending the summit? Hopefully this gets to you guys, and thanks again for all the podcasts. Can't say enough how awesome they are in place of mindless TV. Again, that's from Anya. And I think that, Anya, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
And I think we'll both hit on this, but one of the first things that I'd say is, You know what? Go by yourself, because you're going to meet a ton of like-minded people out there, and it's a lot of these things. It's really about learning, but another big part of it is networking, and you will be able to do a lot of that there. There's a social that goes on the first night where Perform Better basically opens up bar and gives people free appetizers just to socialize for about 2 hours so you can meet other people. And that's like meeting the presenters, it's meeting the other attendees, and I guarantee you if you go there, you're going to find people to hang out with and people that you're going to want to end up calling again in the future and, you know, keeping in contact with them. It's always a great group of people, people that are thirsty for knowledge and they want to better themselves. That's why they're spending a weekend and, you know, almost $1,000 to go out to these summits with, you know, hotel room and the actual summit cost itself and having to eat out, all that stuff. So these are people that are heavily motivated, and it sounds like you are too. So I think you would be in the perfect place for you for a weekend. John.
You know, I mean, I think there is an expense that that should be acknowledged. Usually there, you might be able to go on like fitness boards or something and ask, hey, is anyone going? Does anyone want a roommate? Because it helps a lot to split the cost of a hotel room. Having said that, yeah, I mean, I don't think the presenters, you know, asking about like the complexity of the presentations, that's basically the presenters. Some presentations are a little bit simpler. Some are just hands-on, like here's some awesome routines and this is how I train my athletes and whatever. And those are obviously a lot easier. And then sometimes, you know, like Mike Robertson or Cressy, like come in with more of the kines-based, you know, physiology-based kinds of presentations. Like, you know, this is your labrum and you know, type of presentations where, you know, if you don't think that that is going to help you, then don't see it. But that is your choice. You have lots of different presenters to look at and different, you know, different options at each hour. So it's definitely worth it. They're great things that they put together, and you meet a lot of people, which is pretty awesome too. So yeah, definitely go. And if you can find someone to share the costs, even better.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredibly valuable. And like John was saying, there's stuff for the beginners, and you know, you can basically pick and choose what you want to. There's four things going on for every 1.5 hour session. So you can.
Is that me? What the hell is that? Oh, that's the phone. My bad. Hold on. I got to mute you.
Mute me? How dare you? You know what we'll do is we'll continue.
Oh, there it is.
Do you want me to pause the recording, John? Professional.
Hello.
All right, we're back from John's rude interruption, and you're lucky, John, because I have a question for you, so I need you.
Sweet.
It's from David from Denver. David from Denver. That rolls off the tongue. Hey, Lady and Germs, I appreciate all your humor and informative discussions from helping the public become smarter, better, stronger, and healthier people. Everything I learned from you guys, I pass on to my clients, and they love it. So thank you. They think I'm the best trainer ever. So we will be expecting the commission to be coming from that, David. You can just send it to through PayPal to kevin@thefitcast.com. I'm a personal trainer in the Denver area and have a question about one of my clients. She's 56, 30 pounds of weight, and I'm training her 3 days a week on variable circuit training sessions to maintain muscle and tone. We don't do anything heavy. Usually stick around 14 to 18 reps for all exercises, but hit muscle fatigue after each set. Then on the off days, she's doing her cardio. The last month now, she complained of muscle spasms. First, it was in her adductors on the left leg. Then she felt the spasms in her right forearm. The spasms would always occur the next day after I worked her out. Have you ever heard of this? Could the workouts be causing the spasms? How? Why? It could be minor, but she doesn't like them. I tell her it's normal and not to be alarmed, but I don't want to lose her either if they keep happening. Any ideas? By the way, thanks to your advice last week about Mike Bold's Functional Strength Coach 3.0, and haven't watched them yet, but I'm stoked to learn from one of the top experts in the area from sports performance training. Thanks, and keep passing on what you know. So, John, what do you got for him?
It could actually be part of the workout, and I would think it'd be the workout and diet. Any muscle spasms, like, and we're not talking like the major serious muscle spasms that are painful, but these little twitches that we get, Usually they're one of two things. They're either a neurological kind of thing, like the muscle is just randomly firing because they're just, you know, there are causes for a muscle to do that. It's a baseline twitch that becomes a little bit overexcited. Or it can be, I think the more common cause is dietary. So usually like electrolytes imbalance. So like you've got few electrolytes, like salts and things like that. That's where Gatorade comes in. That's why people use Gatorade on long exercise bouts. By the way, it's not necessarily important to use Gatorade for something that's under an hour. So I don't know that Gatorade would be the answer in this case, but you could try it. Water dehydration can also be a cause for like muscle twitches. So make sure that she's drinking enough. But I would think that if you're going to failure at every set of high reps, you're kind of dialing in a formula for either dehydration or lower electrolyte or electrolyte imbalance. So it's possible that that's what it is. And like you said, it's nothing serious. It's not something to be alarmed about, but people do kind of think it's annoying. So you could try, what can you do? Try the drinking, make sure there's enough fluid. Take a look at her diet and see what she's eating. If she's not getting enough, you know, salts in her diet, that could be a cause. And usually it's just as simple as just changing, adding one or two things, like a banana or something. Or you could also actually try to look at your like warm up and cool down as well, and see if there are ways to kind of relax the muscle a little bit better. Foam rolling might do that. Stretching might do that. There's not a lot of research on it because it's not, there's no money in it, quite frankly. I mean, a muscle twitch is not a big deal, so they don't really do a ton of research on this type of topic, but there are little tricks that you might try that might control the situation.
I think it's a really interesting question. A couple of things I'd ask you, John, is, you know, it seems to be pretty common for, especially not, you know, the older population. They just don't drink enough water. They're never hydrated enough. And I see that a lot in my clients too. And they will literally say, they'll come in around 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh, you know, what have you had to drink today? I'll be like, oh, I had coffee for breakfast and, you know, right. I had, then I went out to lunch and I got Diet Coke. And so I haven't had any calories. I'm like, well, have you drinking any water? It's like, oh, not really. I have water with me though, but that's about the extent it goes. So just make sure she's drinking enough. And especially, you know, when they're going to failure in all these sets, it seems like you said it's in the last set, they go to until they hit muscle fatigue sets in. Basically, it's like a glycogen depleting, like rep scheme. So I think, you know, that might be possibly affecting her too. I could be wrong, but I'm just taking a guess. But that's just one of the things that kind of popped out.
Oh, the technical, I didn't even know this. The technical term for that is benign fasciculation syndrome.
Huh.
Which makes sense. Yeah. A muscle fasciculation is basically what you're talking about, is a little twitch.
Yeah. Very cool. So, yeah. John, do you want to grab the next question from Nadine? It's a cool name.
Could. I dated a girl named Nadine. I don't think so. This one's in Australia. Hi, guys. Sending love from Australia. I have a question for Roundtable or whatever you see appropriate. I have a client who has been training with me for about a month. He's very overweight and struggles a lot with anxiety before our sessions. He says he goes to the loo, restroom, about 3 or 4 times while getting ready for our appointments because he's so nervous. He says he loves our sessions and will continue with them, but I'm after maybe some strategies I could try with him to put him at ease. Any suggestions you guys have would be great. Our gym is a personal training studio and we always have the training area to ourselves, so it's not like he's worried about other clients looking at him. I think he's just worried that he can't keep up with what I'm going to give him to do. Thanks for all you guys do with the podcast. I look forward to it every week, and that's Nadine.
I think that's a great question, Nadine. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've worked with a couple clients that have been very overweight that would be classified as obese, or, you know, even past the point being morbidly obese, and they're just trying, they kind of are at the point in their life where they know they need to start exercising. They're starting from zero, and then they're trying to get healthy more than anything. So I think it is common. Some people, you'll give them exercises sometimes and they're not going to be comfortable with them. And when you look at setting up your program, it sounds like you have them in an environment where they are set up to be pretty comfortable, since it's a private area.
Right.
And, you know, if the thing that I would kind of ask you is, what does he look like when he's performing the exercises that you've been giving him? Does he look really uncomfortable? Does he really feel uncomfortable doing it? Like, the thing, like, really odd things that you might need to consider is, you know, how is he going to feel, or what's the best way to put this? What's his interpretation of how he looks doing the exercises that you're doing, having him do? Which may sound really out there, but trust me, I know from experience when I was like in high school and being like the fat kid in gym class, like really being conscious of how I looked performing exercise and not wanting to do things that are going to make me look less than favorable. So I don't know, that might not be a part of it, but I guess the bigger thing is probably sitting down with him and talking with him and seeing, you know, tell him to come 15 minutes early and sit down and be like, oh, you know, Bob or whatever his name is, Bob, you know, like, what's, you know, how you been feeling about the training we've been doing so far? Like, what have you liked? What have you not liked? You know, are you comfortable with the stuff that we've been doing? Like, just, you know, be honest and let me know what's up. And, you know, he'll probably be very honest with you, especially if he's spending his money and, you know, he wants to make sure that he gets the most out of it. And don't be afraid to let him know that too. Be like, yeah, you're paying $75 an hour. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to be having fun. Like, this is not just about becoming healthier and getting stronger and losing weight. You know what? Sometimes you get to come in and you get to play a little bit. You get to have some fun. Take some aggression out with the med balls, things like that. I think that's one of the things, you know, Todd Durkin's always said, you know, sometimes you just got to go to the gym and you got to have some fun. And you got to make sure he's having fun and he's enjoying it too. Maybe he's not looking forward to it every single day, but, you know, you don't want him walking into the gym and trying to just make up excuses to shorten the training session so he doesn't have to do anything. So I would just be really blunt with him and just sit down with him and see what's up. Like, it's going to be taking 10 minutes of your time and just to sit down and talk with him and see where he's coming from and see how he's feeling. I don't know, John, I'm sure you've had experience with this too.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a common thing. And I think that's one of these interesting parts about being a trainer. Most trainers enjoy the gym, and most of our clients don't enjoy the gym. And I think that's one of the first things that you have to kind of learn as a trainer is that you're dealing with a group of people that is unlike you in many ways. So you probably got into health and fitness because you enjoy the gym, or because you've always been athletic, or because it's something that you've always been good at. Having said, I mean, there is a group of trainers that it was the opposite. So they lost weight, they did whatever, and they became motivated and became trainers. But I think most of us, we kind of gravitate to an area that we're already naturally inclined towards. And then we're working with a group of people that are not. And it can be difficult for us to understand what they go through because it's so foreign to us. I think what you said is exactly right. You got to ask him, what exactly are you afraid of, or what do you feel? He may not be able to articulate exactly what's going on in his head. Like, I don't know, I just get so nervous. But you may be able to figure out like what parts of the workouts he's anxious about, or ways that you might make it a little bit more enjoyable for him so that he can relax. It may just be the case that he is just nervous. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to kind of get out of him and to help him to relax. The fact that you're in a private studio does eliminate the factor of like the embarrassment factor, where people feel like I shouldn't be here and hear all these, you know, attractive and strong people and I'm not, and, you know, these kind of like emotional issues that come to play with people that may feel insecure about their weight issues. The other the other thing that I think you could probably try to work on, besides like the talking and stuff, is exactly like changing around the routine and the workouts and making it things that he does feel comfortable with. You know, especially with someone that has a decent amount of weight to lose, you don't have to have these you know, FitCast approved, quote unquote, intense workout kind of things, whatever. Just get them moving. That's a lot of the initial, you know, factors. It's just getting them moving, getting them to do stuff, and getting them motivated and on your side. So, you know, you can do, I mean, quite frankly, my boss's wife, who did not really like working out, she's really starting to get it, and it's making me really happy. But in the beginning, God, I changed everything that I normally do. I mean, everything. If I wrote in the workouts to the FitCast, you know, that I'd started with her with, I'd, you know, be writing back, you know, we'd be answering like, dude, what are you doing? You know, but the point was to get her motivated, to get her to enjoy the gym, and slowly but surely start to throw in the little things, you know, that we feel will be more beneficial or whatever. But, you know, exactly like what she said, you know, what Nadine said is that if you lose them, it's pointless. So you got to try to get them on your side and to be confident and to be leading the charge, not being dragged by it. And hopefully get them to enjoy it, because that's a horrible experience to be anxious and upset every time you go into the gym. And at least he understands that it's a good thing and that he is enjoying the sessions, but that'll eat away at you. So you definitely want to try to help him out as you're doing.
Yeah, Nadine, please keep us updated on that. I'd love to see where it goes from there. John.
Yeah, and actually I was going to say also, there is a phenomenon too with clients where they really do want to please us as trainers. So, you know, it's the type of thing that you have to really dive in there and make sure that you're getting all the information, because a lot of times they don't want to disappoint us because we're the motivators, and they feel that if they disappoint us, they're not doing their end of the bargain. You know what I mean? So just be careful with that. I mean, for someone that's, you know, going to the restroom 3 or 4 times while getting ready for the appointments because he's so nervous, but then says he loves the sessions, something to me there, I mean, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So, you know, make sure that he truly loves the sessions. And if that's the case, then there's something else going on there. It has nothing to do with your sessions. And therefore, you got to find the cause of the problem and not just Band-Aid it, you know, whatever that reason might be. But there's a lot of things that are just kind of not making sense in what's going on with him. So there may be a much, much more deeply rooted issue there. And hopefully you can get that straightened out. And then the bottom line is to remember that we're, you know, we're kind of like fitness bartenders. You know, people tell us their troubles, you know, and we have these conversations with people that they don't tell anyone else but their trainer, and it happens. But you're not a psychologist. So if there's a point where you feel like you're outside of your realm, don't be afraid to say, hey, listen, this is a little beyond what I'm capable of doing. But, you know, there are people that you can talk to try to get over this and just approach it gently. But if that's what ends up being the case, it's not your failing. It's your professionalism to be able to explore options where you're not the expert.
Let's go to another question. We'll hit on. Actually, you know what? We might dig in, since I don't think Leah's going to be popping in today. Mm-hmm. I might dig into the mailbag and see if we can grab some other interesting questions. And I will say quickly that when I said Anya before, I meant Ona.
No, Anya, you were right.
No, I have another email that says that she says, right, where is it? She says pronounce O-N-A.
Yeah, Anna. Anna.
Anna.
Yeah, Anna.
Okay. Locked it down.
My cousin's name is Anna.
Yeah, I went to school with a girl that, but it was hers was pronounced Anna, I think. I don't know. Can't remember. So let's go into this question, which I think is really interesting, a really good question. I don't think we've really hit on anything like this before, and it might be relevant for people out there. I'm looking for a nutrition and fitness advice for my 8-year-old daughter, who is about 15 pounds overweight. I was an overweight child myself, but discovered exercise and healthy eating in my 20s. I'm currently 45 years old and probably about 5 to 7 pounds overweight. I work on it daily. However, I remember struggling as a heavy child with self-esteem and food control. I don't want my daughter to have to endure the same things. Any advice on daily food, on a daily food guide and an exercise plan for a girl who really doesn't like to sweat? That's from Dana B. I think that's a really interesting question. And
it is an interesting question.
Yeah. I think it's like kind of a hard question to answer.
It's tough because you're dealing with a girl that's just, you know, 8-year-old girls are like a nightmare. Well, you know, yeah. And, I mean, it's like that prepubescent sort of, you know, don't embarrass me, mom type of, you know, growth pattern, you know, where we're all like, get away from me, and I'm my own adult at 8 years old. But I think the advantage here is that the mother, Dana, went through the same thing as a child. And I mean, this is my own example, but God, did my mother drive me nuts growing up. Absolutely nuts. I mean, with everything, nitpicking, you know, not even nitpicking, just like, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't stay in school, this and that, all the time. And it was obnoxious. But when I grew up, I realized like, wow, it really stuck with me. And I think that, I mean, this is an aside, but I think that parenting, to be a good parent, you have to have the courage to not be their friend. And I think that kids really do respond to what their parents, the example that their parents set, and that constant attention that the parents can give. So Dana's got a couple of advantages. She went through it as a child, so she can kind of understand what her daughter might be doing or experiencing. And she was also successful at losing the weight as a child, so, or, you know, in her 20s. So a little bit of a different scenario, 20s versus 8 years old, but at least you've gone through that experience. I would just keep at it in terms of, like, you know, eat healthy in front of her, always, you know, exercise and ask her, hey, do you want to come do this? You know, she'll say no, and it doesn't matter. You keep at it and give her the reasons why she should. But, you know, again, it's kind of tied into like the last question, find what she does enjoy doing. I mean, there's got to be something, for God's sakes. You know, it can be organized sport. It doesn't have to be weightlifting. God, kids hate weightlifting unless they're like, saw, you know, some type of movie and they want to look all jacked. You know, I saw 300. I don't want to look like that. But
yeah, put your 8-year-old in front of 300. Yeah.
Can't get him a slide.
Ever do a 300 workout?
But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, you just have to get them moving and away from the TV, and trying to find things that they enjoy, because, you know, elementary school, you know, public school gym classes are just woefully poor across the board. It's where they take their money from first when there are budget cuts, and it's horrible.
But what about, you know, just the fact that she's 8 years old and her mom can basically have her do whatever the hell she wants?
But that's not really true. You know, it's not.
But you can sign her up for soccer. I mean, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, I'm trying to think about what my parents did when I was a kid. Like, you know, they just, you know, straight up signed me up for soccer. And then I was just, you know, Saturday came along, like, all right, we're going to your soccer game. Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that might
I'm not work. Saying I would recommend that. I'm just, let's right. throw it out there. Let's talk about this for a sec.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good suggestion. It's just, but you don't want the girl to hate exercise. So if she doesn't like playing soccer and you make her play soccer, she may end up associating soccer with exercise. And it sounds like she already does. You know, she doesn't like to sweat. I think it's a good idea, and that's what children should do, you know, arguably. I mean, they should learn skills. They should, you know, be active in general exercise, because that's when you're supposed to be learning these types of skill sets. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you may have to tread lightly to some extent, because if she doesn't like exercise to begin with, she's just going to hate every time she goes. And, you know, kids don't understand the future ramifications of their current activities or lack of activities. So it's not an issue of like, well, I know this is good for me, so even though I don't like it, I'll do it. This is, no, I hate this. I hate you. I hate exercise. You know, so because they're kids.
Okay, so maybe it's simple as just finding out what she likes to do for activity, right, and supporting her with it.
Right, exactly.
Doing what you got to do. You know, if she wants to go play hockey, you know, sign her up, get her learning how to ice skate and, you know, do it. I mean, as long as you can support her financially, you know.
Actually, you know, I'll put it out there, too, that it's possible that you can also look at it from a completely opposite point of view. And this is just, I don't know, I was just thinking about it, but it's like, you know, is this a question of, you know, how to get her to exercise or how to get her motivated to things? You know, what does she like to do in general? And are there things that are non-exercise related that she enjoys doing? You know, does she like playing chess or something? Does she like, you know, art? You know, whatever it is, getting her signed up for stuff that she does like, and then, you know, you can either just do that so that she's a little bit happier, more motivated about things. If you don't do that already, you know, get her, you know, music lessons, get her whatever. Or you could even possibly use it as a bargaining chip and say, hey, listen, I'm going to get you this, but you got to do soccer too. You know, and sit down with her and have a discussion of like, okay, I want to give you the things that you enjoy doing, but I also want you to do this because I want you to be healthy. You know, I don't know your daughter, but, you know, I know some little kids that would completely respond to that and other kids that would be complaining, oh, Ma, I don't want to do that, you know. But so it's really between you and your daughter. But, you know, something like that may help too. It's just you want, you know, the worst thing in the world is these, like, demotivated kids that are, like, television junkies. All they want to do is go to the mall with their friends. And it's like, you know, it's not the world that I grew up in or even Kevin grew up in, you know, so it's pretty rough. But, you know, that may be something that you can also kind of explore, is looking at these outside influences on what motivates a child in general. What makes them happy? Because if they're happy, they might be more willing to do other things too.
I'll go back to one quick thing, and that is, you know, you do have control over what she eats for the most part, and just don't make it sound like it's healthy food. Just basically say, oh, this is what we're having. This is what the whole family is having, and, you know, make sure the rest of the family is on board. And, you know, instead of getting, you know, or what's a good example, instead of making something like spaghetti and meatballs for dinner or something like that, you know, grill up some chicken, you know, have some, you know, nice fresh vegetables and stuff like that, or make some like lean hamburgers, things like that, and kind of just make that the norm. Don't make it like a special healthy meal. Make it, oh no, this is just how we eat. And maybe, you know, kind of those, just that kind of setup will be ingrained in her. You know, it's worth trying a couple different things. John had a lot of points, and just find what works and support the crap out of her. And I'm sure you're already doing that.
Right.
So let's go to John. Do you want a mystery question?
I would love a mystery question.
You really want something that, this is a good question. I would like to know your opinion on this, John. Right. Hey guys, this is from Mac Corey. That's MAC. Hey guys, love the show. My gym recently got a power plate vibration trainer, and I'm wondering how, if at all, I should work it into my training. I currently warm up with foam rolling, some static stretching of chronologically tight muscles. chronically, not chronologically. That would have been, I'm an idiot, so I'm going to continue. Chronically tight muscles, hip flexors, calves, and an assortment of mobility exercises. I lift 3 days a week, full body, focusing on big compound movements. I've read that there is some research backing up vibration trainers, but I'm not sure whether there are risks that would outweigh these potential benefits, and I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing on this thing anyway. Thanks in advance. This is a great question. John, have you seen one of these power plates?
I've used them.
Okay, then what do you think?
They're interesting. They came out, I don't know, probably like 5-10 years ago or so for like commercial use. And they did have some initial research behind them. And then it kind of petered out a little bit, probably because, number one, they're insanely expensive.
Like 10 G's, man.
Yeah, they're really expensive. And the later, you know, the initial research was done like, oh, you know, showed muscle improvement, showed improvements to bone mineral density, balance improvements, but a lot of that was done on elderly populations. When they started looking at, you know, more like just weight loss and things like that, there just nothing came out of them, because it's just not, it doesn't work well enough to do that. And there are some concerns, and I don't know that there's any actual research concerns, or it's just more of like conjecture, but there are some concerns about what that type of training may do on a microscopic level as far as like microfractures or joint instability, things like that. It there's no evidence to suggest that it happens, but it's just people kind of saying, I wonder if this is really good for you or not. But basically, it's just not effective at losing weight, so most people just don't bother doing that. And I think that there are some the research is shaky in terms of like actual, like low back pain and things like that, where it doesn't seem to help and it may even hurt. So overall, I doubt that I'd really use it in a fitness routine. There's just not enough evidence to suggest that it really is going to do stuff above and beyond what normal weightlifting would do. Like about the study that was bone mineral density, but in postmenopausal women, I think there was. But regular weight training does that too. So it's not clear what advantages this really gives you. So there's nothing. I can't tell you that it's wrong to use it. You could do push-ups on the thing. People do squats on it, but. I don't even know where you would really add that into the routine, to be honest with you. There's been some suggestion that it can cause a little pre-excitation, kind of like what your warm-up is supposed to do. But so maybe you would consider doing like a quick set of like, push-ups on the plate before you did regular push-ups. But again, I can't tell you that I know that for certain.
It's interesting. We actually have one at Boyle's, and I am we have some people that really, really like it. So much so, I think if they could have one thing for Christmas, it would be a power plate. But to be honest, it doesn't get much use.
Right.
And some people use it for like planks and push-ups to add some kind of like variable stability element to it, but. Doing push-ups on it, I did not find much more difficult throwing my feet up on that thing and doing push-ups, even having it turned up all the way. Planks, same thing. People have done like split squat iso holds on it, in terms of, I don't know if they were doing it for just to increase stability or muscle activation and increasing proprioception. To be honest, I don't know. So I can't really – is it worth spending $10,000 on it? I don't know. But if your gym has it and you want to do some rolling on it, like foam rolling on top of that, some people like it. I mean, it's – John, you don't think it's going to hurt them.
Well, I know, but one thing, and this is just an anecdotal thing, but I used it – we were actually at a conference. And I think it was an NSCA conference, and they had one of these things in the advertising room, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I did push-ups on it, and I remember thinking like, whoa, that was crazy. And then my shoulders were jacked for about a week. And it's probably because of the, it's just a completely different.
John? Oh, that's awesome. He's in a hotel, so we're going to give John a second to catch up. As you can see, he's kind of catching up right now. John, are you there? Live radio, folks. How awesome does that sound, folks? I'm going to pause this for a second until we can get John back, all right? All right, so we got John back, but I think that's where we're going to wrap up this week's mailbag. But we're going to be coming right back with listener feedback, so we're going to have everyone's listener feedback from the last 2 weeks or so. And then we're going to go into some new music, and we're going to have an off-topic, and I might talk to Lee Peel. Probably not, though. Oh, and I was supposed to interview Smitty, but I was really sick this past week, so we ended up not doing that interview. So I'm going to try to reschedule that. Also, Charles Staley interview is going to be coming up. So if you have questions for Charles or for Jim Smitty Smith of DieselCrew.com, some really cool stuff over at Diesel Crew. Recommend you checking that out. Also, some other people like Tom Venuto, Eric Cressy. Coming up. Eric's going to be coming up in the end of August. So you have a couple weeks to think. Think real hard about the questions you're going to be asking Eric. Tony was supposed to be on this week, but I forgot about that. And I don't know. That's it. John, do you have anything else coming up? People should.
No, I'm traveling for another 3 weeks.
All right. Maybe you should write something then. All right. So that's going to do it for the mailbag. I'm just going to quickly wrap up by saying don't forget to get in on that TRX contest. Check out the FitCastInsider.com to get on that deal. You got 1 week left. I really recommend you checking out. It's one of the ways that we support the show and pay for this beautiful bandwidth that allows you to get the show so quickly. And man, we had some really great nutrition questions this week. We'll have to wait for until next week, though. All right. Well, check out the FitCast.com. Submit reviews on iTunes. And until next week, check out that awesome picture that we have to post on the website this week is epic. Right, John?
Epic.
I had a dream about Back to the Future last night.
Yeah, I didn't. Gonna lose my faith as I take control. And if I lift it up till I see the sun, I remember you, you're not the only one. See another guy in another life. See the turning wheel, see the stab at night. If I wish I may, if I wish I might. See the early bird take a run. Hey guys, it's Kevin here for the listener feedback segment. As I mentioned earlier, we had a couple questions from the last couple weeks. One was just if you had any kind of opinion on the discussion that myself, John Fass, and Mike Robertson had about the fitness industry. And also, we asked, how do you stick with your training and nutrition? So we got a couple voicemails for that. And I want to encourage you guys, send those in. Make use of that number. It's 978-633-3488. Or you can always email me an MP3 at kevin@thefitcast.com. You can do it either way. And like some people have taken advantage of, if you don't get the voicemail right the first time, hang up, call back, tell me to use the second one, and I'll use the second one. So there's no pressure, guys. And again, you know, I want some more interaction with you because you are the listeners. You're what shapes this show. So again, you can send in those voicemails for the listener feedback to 978-633-3488 and answer this week's question, why do you train? And you don't have to, you can kind of go off the rails with that, but kind of try to stick to it and try to keep it to under 90 seconds. Let's try to make it under 1 minute and 30 seconds. Otherwise, we have 8 minute long voicemails, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. I can't put in 8 minute voicemails into the podcast. So here's the feedback for this week. So I hope you enjoy it. And don't forget, we're going to be coming back with the off topic after that. And just to quickly mention, the music for this week was featured by a couple listeners that sent them in. And really, you know what? Pretty good stuff. One of the songs was actually created by Future Tracks, or Don, at futuretracks.com. That's Future, FutureTrax.com. That opening song was his. And also, we got a bunch of clips that were sent in from a listener in Australia, Paul. And they actually said that there's the band called The People People. And that's actually his band. It's pretty cool. The album's called Primpin, which is P-R-I-M-P-I-N, which is currently only available on iTunes and some stores out in Australia. So they are independent, unsigned band. So if you like what they're listening to, definitely check them out. So here's listener feedback, and then we're going to get into the off-topic. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey, guys. This is Deb from California. I am just calling in to say that I absolutely loved the FitCast this week. It was awesome. I am not a trainer. I just work out heavy duty, and I work with a trainer. And I'm also struggling with a knee injury, so everything was timely. Everything was perfect. And I loved the round table. It's just, I love you guys. It's awesome. And just wanted to let you know. Thanks so much. Bye.
The next voicemail is from Kyle, and it's about the fitness industry topic that Mike, John, and myself had.
Hey, guys. This is Kyle here. Trying to leave you a message a minute ago. Things got a little crazy. I just wanted to kind of address the discussion you had with Mike and you know, about the certification process. I was saying that you know, PTs and good PTs, you know, Charlie Weingroff and guys like that, Bill Harpin, you know, they can provide a super high level of service and knowledge, you know, to definitely get patients better. But at the same time, you can look at a PT that's somewhere in the vicinity of the same facility, and they should be able to provide a baseline level of knowledge that is included in the certification, you know, currently with DPT. You know, sort of ensures that you have a great level of service to patients. And the same thing should hopefully exist for personal trainers and strength coaches. You know, you're not going to have the Tracy Andersons and people like that that are making millions of dollars and are complete idiots. You know, hopefully people look at personal trainers with that high level of respect that they do as a doctor. I think, you know, PTs are looking to do the same thing. So I think it's a good idea, you know, for people to get certified as personal trainers. So at least, you know, when you look up people in the phone book, you have that baseline level of knowledge that they're going to be able to help people without hurting them, you know, do no harm type of thing. And then hopefully, as Kevin said, you can look, you know, further into word of mouth and see who's getting good results among friends, family, and those in the area. So good job with the podcast. Just wanted to kind of throw that in there. And, you know, thanks for doing such a great job of bringing people good information. All right, guys. Peace.
You know, Cal makes some great points, and we, you know, I got to mention, we got some other voicemails, but they were like 6, 7, 8 minutes long. We just can't play that long a voicemail back. But I think this is one of those discussions that's going to continue to go on, and we're going to continue to say there needs to be more regulation, and I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, but that's kind of the way things are going right now, and we're still going to debate it, whether we think there needs to be more regulation or not. I just don't think there is a governing body that's going to, you know, take the proper steps or, you know, have the call to arms to make this happen. But we have two more voicemails. One, they're actually both from Craig from North Andover, Massachusetts, who sent like 48 voicemails in, and he's laughing right now because he sent in a couple, but we're going to use about two of them. He's a new listener of the podcast, so he's catching up on a lot of the old stuff. He's kind of working his way backwards. So here is one on the fitness industry itself, that discussion, and then one on just the podcast in general.
Hey, Kevin. This is Craig Burns calling from North Andover, Massachusetts. I called yesterday, and I just want to touch on something after listening to episode 185. It reminded me of my story, and I began following Mike Boyle's stuff in like 1991, and I thought this stuff was just amazing. So in 1992, I went to UMass Lowell for exercise physiology, and while studying there, I noticed that everyone there in the program was basically trying to fit into the physical therapy graduate program. They would take 30 out of the 40, I believe. And I was interested in strength and conditioning and fitness and all that stuff. And I was made to feel like you shouldn't even be here. You should be in phys ed. And anyway, it totally turned me off. And I ended up getting more into the psychological part of things and getting into nutrition and that aspect. But, you know, where you guys were talking about standards and, you know, trying to fit people into certain programs. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to tell you was I hear you guys talking about The Biggest Loser a lot, and I watch that show mainly to critique it, and it's like watching a car wreck also. But there are also versions from Australia and the UK, and Bob and Jillian actually started out as the trainers on the UK, I mean on the Australian one, and then these other two people took over. But I've watched like every episode from the Australian one, and the UK one is a really low budget one, but it's really interesting to see what they do. But again, I don't want to take up all your time here. Great show as usual. I just listened to 186. Great job by Lee Teal. Awesome stuff on the nutrition and psychological aspects. That's stuff that I read about every day. So, cool. Talk to you. Bye. All right. I promise not to call after every podcast I listen to, but you make it so easy with this phone number. You don't understand. That's all I do is listen to podcasts at work. I'm always looking for interesting things to listen to, and this is by far the best podcast that I've ever found. And it's not just the content that's great, and believe me, the content is great. I love the subject matter, but after more and more listening, it's the personalities, which makes me want to say, you know, kind of called up and criticized your video game playing. I shouldn't have done that. What you do in your spare time is up to you. At 24 years of age, I'd say you you got more going on than I did. That's for sure at that age. So keep up the good work, and that's all we can say. It's a great podcast, and the information, the guests are just... All right, I promise not to call after every podcast I listen to, but you make it so easy with this phone number. You don't understand. All I do is listen to podcasts at work. I'm always looking for interesting things to listen to, and this is by far the best podcast that I've ever found. And it's not just the content that's great, and believe me, the content is great. I love the subject matter, but after more and more listening, it's the personalities, which makes me want to say, you know, kind of called up and criticized your video game playing. I shouldn't have done that. What you do in your spare time is up to you. At 24 years of age, I'd say you you got more going on than I did. That's for sure at that age. So keep up the good work, and that's all we can say. It's a great podcast, and the information, the guests are just incredible. It's great stuff. Bye.
All right, guys, so that's it for listener feedback for this week. Again, you know, I want some more participation, guys. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. If I have to, I'll play this every single time.
You don't have to be alone tonight. Just call me, pick up the phone. And that's how we'll end it. Click, click, boom.
Yeah, so that's a callback to a couple episodes ago. But Lee wants you to pick up the phone as well, guys, 978-633-3488 for listener feedback. And hopefully next time we'll be able to get the whole panel on to listen to the feedback and then discuss it from there. So, again, you know what? You don't even have to follow that. You know, if you have any feedback whatsoever, send it into the voicemail box. If you have questions, send them into the voicemail box, 978-633-3488. All right, guys, so that's going to do it for this week. Here comes the off-topic discussion. We talk about a new arcade cabinet that I'm picking up, and we talk about Inception. So if you haven't seen Inception, don't listen to, like, the last 3 minutes of the off-topic, because that's when we talk about it. Hope you guys had a great week. Thanks for listening. As always, appreciate it so much. You guys are the best. Take care. All right, we're here on the off-topic. Myself, Jonathan Fast, Lee's going to be joining us shortly, we think. So,
we think, we hope.
So, we John, hope. Have you seen Inception since you were in the States?
I did.
Oh, you did? No crap.
I did.
All right, well, let's talk about that at the end of the off-topic discussion for people who don't want to hear like how it goes or hear a discussion. We'll save that for the end.
It will be a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, okay, this is one thing I got to get out of the way first. I'm picking up a new arcade machine on Saturday.
Okay.
It's a Nintendo PlayChoice 10. Have you heard of this before?
That sounds familiar. It's like it was like they'd give you a choice of games to play or something on it.
Yeah, and it was one of the. It's one of those machines. What's up?
You see how I did that? I just took the name and reversed it.
Yep, I wasn't going to call you out on it. But
but I do think I remember that.
Well, anyways, it was like this big kind of like black and red machine that was originally they converted old Donkey Kong machines into these PlayChoice 10 machines. And basically what it is, it's literally like a modified NES with 10 slots in it. So you can put in 10 games or 10 arcade boards, because it's not like you can just go and get a Nintendo game and plug it into the back of the thing. You actually there's actually set like separate boards that you get to put in. But it's like the weirdest thing. I think I played one of these like once or twice when I was a kid. Like I'm talking about 6 years old, maybe younger than that, maybe four or five, and I just remember I was like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing ever. It is a Nintendo with 10 games in it.
At 6 years old, it drove you to Carson.
Yeah. No, I whispered. I was like, holy shit. And I looked each way, you know, make sure no one heard me. But the it's the machine that I've always kind of wanted. And I always, like, in the last 5 years, like, I'll look at arcade machines online sometimes, like, if I was bored or... I remember doing it in college, and I was like, wow, I really... When I can actually have the means of getting one of these, I'm going to get one. And the opportunity has come up, and hopefully I'm going to be picking one up on Saturday morning in Connecticut, so...
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's got 10 games. Tennis, Russian Attack.
Oh, Russian Attack.
Pro Wrestling, Contra, Dr. Mario, Double Dragon, Excitebike, Tecmo Bowl, Super Mario Brothers, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But in all, they released 54 games for it. And it is, like, sought after. Like, this is a rare machine. And it's in pretty good shape from the pictures that I've seen. And it's just going to be really iffy getting it into my car, so I'm probably going to have to borrow a truck.
Hmm. That's what you did the last time, isn't it?
No, I actually fit the other machine in my RAV4.
Oh.
Someone calling you, John?
Yeah, probably my dad.
Well, you gotta put that thing on ignore so we don't hear that.
It's true. See, my dad doesn't care if it's on ignore because it's like that. Where is this?
Well, you know that it's that little green thing that you drop down list. Just put it on do not disturb.
Yeah, again, my dad doesn't care. Because it's my dad.
Yeah, but if you do that, the sounds won't come up.
What is it?
You hit that green check mark and you go down to the part that says do not disturb and click on that.
Oh, doesn't sounds not come up? Oh, that's interesting.
Correct. It's amazing discoveries. You missed a great show last week.
I heard it, you son of a bitch. You called me out.
On what?
I forgot what you called me out on. Oh, you're like, hopefully John will come back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so, anyways, dude, I'm going to be picking up. I just made room right next to my current multi-arcade machine, and I don't know if it's really cool or really lame that I'm doing it. I haven't decided which one's which.
At this point in your life, I don't know that we can make these judgment and value calls anymore. I think you glorify your lameness, and in a sense, that's cool.
Well, I really have always coveted this machine. Like, I've always gone into arcades and, like, looked for it, because it was, like, that one time I saw it at this one arcade out in, like, Rowley, Massachusetts, and never saw it again. And I still haven't been able to see one since that original one time I got to see it. Or maybe they did have it at the local mall that I had. Maybe I played it like a couple times, but I'm pumped. It has two screens. Oh, John, I'll have to send you some pictures. It's really cool. But
cool.
What else, John? How's your trip been going? I don't know how much can you talk about it, but
well, it's pretty ridiculous. It's radiculous. I have about 200 pictures waiting to be put up from yesterday's fishing trip.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's like I can't even. It's like I'm addicted.
What'd you catch? Sharks?
I saw sharks. I took pictures of them. The water's so clear, I could see straight to the bottom. We were out with like 50 meter water. You could see straight to the bottom, and I could see sharks like circling around because we had a school of fish that was like around the boat. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. the pictures here, like, it's, you can't even help it. Like, every 5 minutes, the entire environment changes, and you're like, oh my God, I have to take a picture of that.
Damn.
Yeah, this is the most gorgeous place I've ever been to. I'm in Bora Bora, by the way, for anyone not on the Facebook. Yeah, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous, this environment.
That's great, man. It sounds like you're having some fun.
It's insane. It really is. Like,
And you were recently in Boston and did not, and I actually called you on the way back from seeing Inception, and you would not go to dinner with me.
Not only is that a lie.
No, that's not a lie. I said, why can't
you call me? When did you call me? I never got a call from you.
Right after I saw Inception, you were out in like the water or something like that because it was all windy.
Oh, that's right. Oh, is that where we were talking? I didn't even know you got to see.
Oh yeah, I just left the movie. I went to go see it with like Tony and a couple of the CP guys.
Yeah. Nah, unfortunately, we get see the trips that we have. Unfortunately, are not really like oh, I'm here and I have 24 hours of fun to fill. Like, you know, we're still supporting my boss. Like, it's his vacation and we're along for the ride. Mm-hmm. We usually do get some time, and actually in Boston we didn't. Not really. My mother came up to visit with my cousin, and then two of my friends came up to visit, which was pretty cool to see everybody. But that was like literally about 2 hours in the morning before I had to go to work. So, and we were only there for like 4 days. But I was hoping to see more people. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't fit it in.
That's all right. Some people care more than others. It's okay.
Yeah, it's true. My mom and my cousin and my two friends that did visit me, they cared more than me.
It's not that I don't care, John. It's that I don't give a shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Just letting that sensor thing go out the window.
What's that?
Just going to let the sensor thing go out the window today.
I'm noticing that. You're being very laissez-faire.
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, John. It's not 10 a.m.
It is 10. It's 11, actually. Did you see that? I used a little French because this is a French Polynesian island.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Inception, homie.
Wait, is there anything else we need to talk about first? First, let's talk about the picture that's going to be the album art and the news front page for this week.
I'm so sad that's what we're associated with because of your nerdness. We're like a back.
You cannot tell me that is not the most badass Photoshop ever.
It is pretty amazing.
Especially Lee Peel as Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite amazing. I saw it last night when you sent it. I was like, oh, there you have it. Pretty amazing.
People don't know what we're talking about. Look at your iPod or look at thefitcast.com. You'll see what we are talking about. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, pretty magnificent, actually.
Let's see. What else do we got? Still watching Studio 60. Still chugging through that.
Studio 60.
No one cares. Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of Studio 60 and the Sunset Strip? It came out in, like, 2006. It was an Alan Sorkin joint. The creator of West Wing.
No, I don't think so.
Had, like, it was all based on late-night television, like a fake Saturday Night Live show. That and it was more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Really, really good. It was on Netflix streaming. That's why I've been rewatching it again. It's really good. Canceled after 1 year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
All right. All right, let's get going. Roger Lawson and I need to play some video games in a little bit. So, Inception.
There you go.
We're going to be talking about Inception. If you haven't seen the movie, stop listening right now. I'm going to give you 5 more seconds to stop the recording. 3, 2, 1. All right, so it was all a dream. I'm just kidding. So, anyways, the movie itself, John, did you get to see it in IMAX?
No, I did not see it in IMAX.
Oh, bummer. So... The premise for people that are for some reason listening and haven't seen it and decided to listen anyways, Leonardo DiCaprio, the guy from G.I. Joe is in it. The guy who plays Cobra.
And 500 Days of Summer, and what else?
No one watched that movie. Oh, you got to turn off the Google messages, Sean. We can't have all this sound in the background.
I have to multitask.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
So, and also it's got Ellen Page, who I thought was really good in it, surprisingly good. I didn't really like her in Juno. I just didn't like Juno, the character, at all. And I kind of associated her with that character for a while. But clearly, I mean, fantastic movie, great visual.
Got better and better, actually, I thought.
Yeah, no, it definitely, there was some doubt, you know, there was some kind of quieter moments where it was getting kind of boring, but, no, it picked back up. There was some, I mean, it's really cool. They were able to pretty much do whatever they wanted because it was based on a dream. You can create whatever you want and do whatever you want. And I definitely got a Matrix vibe from it. And I don't know. I just overall really enjoyed it. A lot of people said they went away from the movie very confused.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I honestly think they spelled it out pretty clearly.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he did a very good job of making a relatively complex story into something very easy to follow. Because in the beginning, that opening scene, you're like, what the hell is going on? And by the end, you're like, oh, that's awesome. This is what's going on. So,
well, they take like a good 10 minutes to explain, like, all right, this is like a level 1, level 2, level 3, and level 4, which is basically the level where you go crazy. And
right. I mean, I think
four floors.
Yeah, I think that two potential errors for people to get confused. One was right, that the like levels and that time is multiplied, which was an awesome, awesome concept. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. But the other part that I really enjoyed about it is that this was like an alternate reality. This type of activity, this was normal. They had the technology. They'd been doing it for years. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't talk about this as something new. Nobody knows about it. People knew about it.
Well, it's it's one of those things that takes place in the not-too-distant future.
Right, right. And it's all been done. It's been going on. It wasn't like this was something that only they knew, because they go to the main guy that they're trying to infiltrate, and he already had defenses. You know what I mean?
Well, like, no one's done that in all of his movies. It was in all of his movies. He kind of expects a lot from the viewer, and
yeah,
he doesn't. You know, I think in Inception, he gave like a lot of time for people to catch up, understand what was going on. Especially, you know, towards the end, you should be able to follow along. Like, you, each level had its own environment, and you were able to basically figure out that, all right, we know that level 1 is the city, level 2 is the hotel, level 3 is the the snow landscape and the base, and level 4 was obviously the wasteland.
Yeah.
And it's like people were walking up, like people were like walking by us, like talking next to each other, like, oh my god, I just didn't get it. I couldn't tell where they were and like what was going on. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, yeah, oh my god, guys. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, it was really interesting. Like, they literally told you you're going to be spending like 6 months of time in this level 4 in terms of the time that you're actually spending in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. And it's something that I can't wait to see again when it comes out on Blu-ray. That's like one of those things I'm going to buy day one, because it looks and it sounds awesome and it's going to be really worth listening to. Or experiencing again. I mean, it's really good in it, and it goes back to the whole premise of everything that I see now has to be an IMAX. It has to. I'm just spoiled by that experience that I won't pay $10 to see something in the movie theater when I can pay $11.25 and see it in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, do you have anything else?
No, I'm in agreement with you. The movie was just sick. It was really sick.
And a quick bonus, Comic-Con's going on this weekend, and there's been some cool stuff coming out of that. One, a brand new trailer for the Tron Legacy movie, which is just ridiculous. Mm. Ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, absolutely, it's my most anticipated movie right now. I might see that day one.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
And it's just visually, it's like so visually pleasing. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, John. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get called out for saying that a lot. All right. So I don't know, John, have you been watching any of the other Comic-Con stuff?
No, not at all.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
It's been some really cool things going on.
Yeah, I've been in Bora Bora.
Yep, well, that's not as cool. All right, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to probably record a podcast, I think.
Sweet.